This is Fresh Air. I'm Marty Moscawain.
Listen up, ladies and gentlemen. Our fugitive has been on the run for 90 minutes. Average foot speed over uneven ground, barring injury, is 4 miles an hour. That gives us a radius of 6 miles. What I want out of each and every one of you is a hard target search of every gas station, residence, warehouse, farmhouse, hen house, outhouse, or doghouse in that area. Checkpoints go up at 15 miles. Your fugitive's name is Dr. Richard Kimball. Go get him.
They got him. And last summer's hit film, The Fugitive, got 7 Academy Award nominations, including Best Picture and Best Supporting Actor. The film's director, Andrew Davis, has earned a reputation as an accomplished director of intelligent action thrillers. He knows how to get your adrenaline going and stimulate your brain cells in one sitting. His hit movies include the Chuck Norris film Code of Silence, The Package with Gene Hackman, and the Steven Seagal films Above the Law and Under Siege. The Fugitive reworks the 60s TV show of the same name. Once again, Dr. Richard Kimball, played by Harrison Ford, is falsely accused of murdering his wife. He escapes from jail to clear his name and find his wife's real murderer, the one-armed man. And U.S. Marshal Sam Gerard, played by Academy Award nominee Tommy Lee Jones, is in hot pursuit. I spoke with Andrew Davis last summer when the film was in the theaters. This week, it comes out on video. I asked him why he chose Harrison Ford to star as Dr. Kimball.
Harrison Ford chose me. So it was the other way around. I had just finished another movie called Under Siege, and I was expecting to take time off. And I got a phone call from Warner Brothers saying that Harrison had seen Under Siege and wanted me to meet with him and to have me direct this movie if the meeting went well. And it did.
What did you like about what he could bring to that character, Dr. Kimball?
Well, he had a great range. First of all, he was a very sophisticated vascular surgeon, which fit perfectly. He's a great everyman, so that people could identify with him in terms of this could happen to me. And the fact that his own movie mystique is such a heroic kind of guy who's in jeopardy was perfect to fit into this role.
Now, Sam Gerard, who's the U.S. Marshal who's obsessed with tracking down Dr. Kimball, is played by Tommy Lee Jones. And you seem to have changed this character slightly. He seems to be less malevolent than the TV show. Were you interested in humanizing him?
Yeah, I think everybody was interested in getting rid of cliches. And to have the pursuer have dimension, because he's really not the bad guy.
No.
He's just the heat. He's the pulse. He's the pressure on Richard Kimball. And to give him some range as a human being, and to have people around him like his other marshals who could play off of him and with him, I felt was important.
There is a scene in the movie. It's a train crash. It crashes into the bus that is transporting Dr. Kimball to prison. And it's a spectacular scene, and my understanding is that it really happened, in that you used a real train and a real train wreck. Why did you want to do that?
Well, why not? I didn't want to animate Harrison Ford, and I didn't want to, you know, not shoot in Chicago. So we wanted to make everything real. There's just no way to duplicate that kind of reality. You can get close and you can trick people. But for the kind of coverage we wanted to have, it would have been very complicated. We, in fact, did do some special effects shots that are part of the sequence, but there was an incredible train crash of a freight train into a bus.
Now, where did you film this scene?
In North Carolina.
And it was the Smoky Mountain Railroad,
right?
Is that right?
Smoky, yes, that's right.
How did you find Dillsboro. How did you find this particular railroad?
Well, actually, we scouted in Illinois first, and we're looking in Missouri and Indiana. I think one of our location scouts found a book about independently owned railways and began getting on the phone. And it turned out there was a dam in North Carolina that we could use for another part of the chase, and a tunnel that all fit together. So it worked out quite well.
So someone called up and said, we want to film a train wreck. Can we use your train?
Well, actually, what we did is we sort of assembled our own train. We bought 7 or 8 different cars that were specifically decided by ourselves that we wanted to have. And we found an old locomotive that we were able to take the engine out of. It was a junker. And we, in fact, pushed one locomotive, and the locomotive that hit the bus was a real one, didn't get hurt at all.
Now, I understand that you had some 11 cameras going. Is that right? And obviously with this, it's one take and one take only.
I think it was closer to over 13 or 16 cameras by the time we put it all together. It was one take only. That's correct. We had cranes there if we had to do a second take, but it wasn't necessary.
How much planning went into this particular scene?
Well, once we found the location, I would say about a month and a half worth of real work with grading the track and putting in certain trestles of our own and having the ability to have a track hidden under the dirt so the train, in fact, could start chasing Harris and look like it's chasing Harris.
Well, certainly most of your movies, and I probably should list them, Under Siege, The Package, Above the Law, Code of Silence, these are all pretty much action movies. What is satisfying about making these kinds of pictures?
Well, you know, I didn't start out to be an action director. I'd done a lot of that work as a cameraman. And I made a musical film, a little musical film called Stony Island, and then was hired to direct a movie by Chuck Norris, a Chuck Norris movie called Code of Silence, and it was successful. And people said, well, he can do that. Let's let him do another one and another one. The satisfying part is that you really get to use your talents as a director. It's very visual. There's a lot of characters. There's a lot of stuff going on, and you get to be a filmmaker. I've been able to get themes into these films that make the difference to me in terms of having some kind of social fabric, whether it be about police brutality or guns and drugs for arms and the end of the Cold War and the military-industrial complex and needing to have it continue. These are all themes that have gone on in films I've done. And I can get away with it because it makes them more real. And it makes the characters grounded in a reality where you care about them more, and the action doesn't seem cartoonish.
Is there an approach you have to filming violence? And I wouldn't say your films are necessarily violent, but there are some violent scenes. I know in Under Siege, the actor, Steven Seagal, thank you, he actually kind of rips the throat out of a guy that he's taking on. And I wonder how you think about and how you approach a scene like that.
Well, actually, working with Steven Seagal and those kinds of scenes, those are like oriental kind of, martial arts kind of techniques that he draws out of his background. And basically, I photograph them. I don't tell him how to do it. And that's not stuff that I'm really interested in. I'm much more interested in the movement of the movie and in the characters that are part of the story that fit into what's going on there. I'm not proud of that kind of stuff, and hopefully I won't have to do that kind of work anymore.
You're not proud of it. Why?
Well, I don't think entertainment should be about violence. Mm-hmm. I mean, the violence should not be the entertainment part of a movie. I think heroicism, and I think that the movement and action and tension and chase is all part of what movies have been about from the beginning. As a matter of fact, I remember seeing train crashes at the Museum of Science and Industry in Chicago when I was a kid to play with a player piano, in the old 1910 Street. But I think that that films can be, if there's going to be violence in films, it should not be fluffed up. It shouldn't be cartoonish, because when people get shot, they die. And I don't think that we should have films that use these kinds of scenes as a way to handle human behavior. It'd be better if people could talk things through. But if you're going to depict it, don't pamper it.
I noticed that you've worked a number of times with Tommy Lee Jones and also with Steven Seagal. What do you get as a director when you work with an actor over time in one movie after another?
Well, you get trust and you get great collaboration, which is what I need. I mean, the more people who have good ideas, the better I am as a director and the better the movie's going to be. And some people don't like that. They create the script or they've inherited a script, they don't want to change it. They envision it. They just want to have their own vision. And I think I feel comfortable enough about the process that I sort of set a tone and set a point of view about what the scene is about, and then work with people to try to get them to give me the best they can for it.
How has being a cameraman helped you as a director?
Well, I people come to directing from all kinds of points of view. And some are writers, some are actors, some are producers, some are art directors. And I feel coming from the camera is great, because the analogy that I've been using is that, you know, it's like conducting a symphony without being able to read music.
Hmm.
And there are great directors who don't come from this background. Very few actually come from the camera. But some people who, for example, Fellini was a cartoonist. He has a visual orientation. Kubrick was a still photographer. There are certain people who either acquire it, you know, or have it to begin with.
Well, I thank you very much, Andrew Davis, for joining us today on Fresh Air and talking to us about your movies.
Thank you. It was nice talking to you.
Film director Andrew Davis. The Fugitive has been nominated for 7 Academy Awards and has just come out on videotape. Davis's next film will be a comedy called Steal Big, Steal Little. This is Fresh Air.